Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Listen, I'm going to try to do this like John Boyd, okay? Wherever you guys are located here on this worldwide web of sports, it's the last three guys to do a podcast. It is our 34th episode. And no, this isn't John Morgo, but John's with us. This is Daniel Bolton. I got controls here. I got the master controls here. Exactly. So good luck, America. Yeah. Good luck, America. Oh, this is Daniel Bolton in the house with Leon Brown. And John Morgo is calling us live from Las Vegas. John, how goes it out there? And tell your mom and dad I said hi. John, no need to brag about the beautiful weather out there, man, okay?
Yeah, I believe it was sheer just belief. You know, when you go off and first we're gonna call this one, you know, you got the gentleman's sweep with the 5-game series. This right here was a patio sweep. Absolutely.
Explain the patio sweep.
The patio sweep, when you're down 0-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty much out the door.
Yes.
Then they come back and went 4 straight. It wasn't like, you know, 1-2-2. No, it was they won 4 straight and the series didn't go 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing if you're a good Milwaukee Bucks.
60-win team, you're the third team in NBA history to be a 60-win team and lose the series after being up on 2.
I mean, that's almost worse than getting the traditional sweep, 0-4. I mean, that's bad too, but when you get 4-0 after being up 2-0,
mm-hmm.
That's horrible. I mean, now if you're a management, you have to look down the roster, like, okay, who do we generally feel that we don't have much to gain by keeping him around? You know who I look at?
Who?
The point guard.
Ooh.
Oh, yes, sir. The point guard. Mr. Eric Kentucky played with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, drafted 2009, Bledsoe, whom Terry Rozier made a joke out of last year.
So you think that he was the one that could have been their fall from grace? Because there was a saving grace for Toronto, and then there was a fall from grace. You think it's Bledsoe?
Politics demands someone take the blame for that.
Okay.
And it's
sure.
Absolutely. It will be Eric Bledsoe. Because you got to look at management. It's kind of like, who's the gentleman to be like?
The
jury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he fired Dwayne Casey, who was the coach of the year. Dwayne Casey, now with the Pistons.
And traded away DeMar DeRozan.
Who was best friends with Kyle Lowry.
Absolutely. Who said, he just, yeah, he's like, you know, we just want to get out.
Yeah.
So, you know, is it apparent that Giannis has some things to work on with his game? Yeah. Is it apparent that Giannis is still a little raw? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, politics demands that somebody's head rolls for this. And I doubt it's going to be Budenholzer. not gonna be Bulldogs. So next one you have to look at who's Bulldogs extension on the court. You guys left with one guard.
So I get the scapegoat part, right? Like, because I mean basically what we're talking about with scapegoat and John Lee, I'm correct me if I'm wrong here, who's the guy that you would get rid of, right? Or right. Is that what we're saying?
Right.
Okay, I agree with that. But in this series, I don't think he was the fall from grace. I think in games 5 and 6, it was Middleton. Middleton is an all-star, and especially in game 5, he did not show up. He only had 6 points in that game. He did not show up for that game, for that game 5.
In the closeout game, he had 14.
He had 14.
Which is...
Yeah, and he was an all-star this year. And I was always on record as to say, this team doesn't move. Yeah, Antetokounmpo is going to get his points, you know. But what if they stop him? You know, so you got to kick it out to a guy that can do. Brooke Lopez had an amazing game 1, which is the reason why they won that game. He had 28 points. And nobody expected for him to do that. Bledsoe, yeah, he's been very inconsistent this year. So I can see the scapegoat point. The fall from grace in this series was Middleton to me. I thought that he could have done a better job stepping up. Now, the actual person who the saving grace for the Raptors was Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka had a big time. He struggled the first 3 games of the series, but the last 3, he came on. And he came on big. Kawhi Leonard has always been there. And Kyle Lowry, even, you can make a case for him too. And that's why the Toronto Raptors, I believe, is where they are now. Listen, this team was down by as much as 15, I believe, last night. Came back, won that game, made the plays down the stretch that they needed to make that Milwaukee just couldn't make. And that's why we're having this matchup here. What you think, John? And keep in mind, John, excuse me, keep in mind, Toronto has home court.
Guys, if Golden State doesn't have Kevin Durant, they're going to lose. I'm just going to say this straight up. I said it. They will lose. You know why? Because then they will become Steph Curry a bust. You know why? Because Kawhi Leonard on defense reminds me of a young Metta World Peace. I'm talking about, you hop on the court, that is the dungeon. He locks you. He'll take you out the series. It kind of reminds me of, when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks,
okay?
And I know we're moving on to the Golden State, but this is going to carry over. Okay. You look at the Milwaukee Bucks, it reminds me of my favorite football team, the Chargers.
The Chargers.
All right.
LA.
All right. The Chargers. Yeah, rub that in.
I have to keep saying it because I also live up to say San Diego.
Right.
But this is my therapy.
Right. Remember, in 2009, which was the last time we made the playoffs before we went in 2013, we lost to Toronto with Peyton Manning. We had a real good season in 2009. We went 13-3, and we actually lost to the Jets. The Jets had a nuclear weapon on defense called Darrelle Revis.
Yes.
Family, he had a signature. Central way of playing defense, Carl Rivas Island had a whole nickname for it.
Sure.
Okay. When I look at the Toronto Raptors, they have this gentleman named Kawhi Leonard, who you've probably heard of.
Yeah.
He is a nuclear weapon on defense. He takes he takes a star player out of the game as well as produces on offense. Okay. How does that translate to the Bucks? The Bucks, unfortunately, went the Chargers route. When Phillip Rivers was playing against the Jets, he had a lot of he had a lot of faith in our star wide receiver at the time named Vincent Jackson, and he kept going to him. Vincent Jackson had a strong game anyway, but at the same time, what he should have did, what Peyton Manning did, was he had Pierre Garçon and a host of other wide receivers, and he had star nuclear weapon in Reggie Wayne.
Okay.
You know what he did? Was on Reggie Wayne, he went the other way.
Yeah.
And Reggie Wayne, I think, only had one completion, if that.
Yeah.
And Pierre Garçon was, you know, was
at about 9 or 10.
Right.
Because he was open, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Adrian James coming off out the backfield. Yeah, you're right, John.
So, therefore, when you look at the Milwaukee, the Milwaukee team, they were like Giannis or bust,
sure.
Right? And they busted.
Yeah.
When now we're looking at the Golden State Warriors, if I'm Nick Nurse, I put Kawhi Leonard on Klay Thompson.
Mm.
All right, that's their other nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
You leave Steph Curry out there by himself with Kyle Lowry to deal with, chasing him around and whatnot. You know, on the screen they do everything like that.
Yeah.
So, therefore, there is no other option. If they don't have KD, who's their major nuclear weapon on offense? DeMarcus Cousins is still hurt.
Yeah.
So, therefore, now, if I suspect that Golden State playing chess is we're about to see how hurt KD really is. Is it really Achilles related?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they just playing, you know, chess and rest with this man?
You know, that's an interesting thing. That's an interesting plot, Leon, because I'm not sure. Is he seriously hurt? You know, that's the major question, because I was under the assumption that he was going to play for game one. Okay? I mean, for Christ's sake, this is the finals. Go ahead, John. It will be 9 days officially, because game one starts Thursday. They wrapped up their series Tuesday, this past Tuesday. So, so it will be 9 days for them. And then, mind you, John, like you were saying, he had the entire Portland series out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. But when you actually go back and look at it, Golden State, the last three games, had to make a comeback. They had to come back from at least 15 down in all three of those games that they closed out.
As in Toronto.
Toronto did too.
I think the Bucks had down like 15 points in the third quarter.
Yes. Yeah. And the Bucks did that in game one. The Bucks were down by. This could have been a sweep, really, in all honesty. The first two games, Toronto couldn't close. They were having problems with closing those games out. Milwaukee struggled in game one. Toronto had a lead in game two. They gave that up, but then, you know, they held home court for games three and four, and then they figured it out in five and six. So this is, I'm going to tell you, man, if there was a matchup that would be scary, now that you look at it and you look at the dynamics of it and the home court advantage is playing, at first we were all saying, it doesn't matter who's playing Golden State. This will be a 4 or 5 game series. The way Toronto has been playing, guys, you can't really say, you can't really disrespect the Raptors that way. They look like a completely different team, and they are one of those teams. We always say that the best team doesn't win is the team that catch fire at the right time. And right now, if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I need to be concerned here, because Toronto has caught fire at the right time. And Kawhi Leonard, of course, he looks hurt out there, but he's playing through it, still scoring 30, 40 points. All right? Kyle Lowry has stepped his game up. Van Fleet had a great game. Serge Ibaka had a game. And Siakam has kind of fell back a little bit. See, Siakam was used for the first two series. In the conference finals, he really hasn't been that much of a factor. Yeah, right. So I look at this series, man, and they could beat – Golden State can beat Toronto with Durant in five. Without them, this series probably goes 6 or 7 games. And that's just really what I believe. Do y'all want to make any early predictions? John, you want to make an early prediction? John? John? And I think we may have lost John. While I try to get him back, you want to make an early prediction?
It's kind of harder to pick against Golden State. I'm going to go Golden State in six.
So you're going to go Golden State in six?
I'm going to go Golden State in six, but I believe the Raptors will win the game.
So we go Golden State in six.
They are bringing KD back. When they bring KD back, it's going to be
John, you there? All right, good. Couldn't hear you for a minute there. I was asking Leon. Leon just said that he thinks Golden State in six because the Durant factor will be back. What about you? What you think? Okay. So I think that, and to your point, John, it's like I said before, the hot hand is what Toronto has, and it's scary. It's extremely scary. This series, I do believe, will go 6 or 7 games. Here's going to be the key. It's going to be games 1 or 2. I believe Golden State's going to get a game here in Toronto. The question is that can Toronto go to the West Coast and get a game in Golden State? If they can, now this becomes interesting. Now this plays out. I'm to believe that they won't. Okay, I think that it will be 1 and 2. And I'm going to agree with you. I think Toronto will open up the series with a game 1 victory, but I think Golden State comes back charging out in game 2, and I think they win games 2, 3, and 4. Toronto will not be eliminated at home, so they will win game 5, and Golden State will go back home and win the championship in 6, because just like Toronto knew last night, if it goes 7, you will not beat Toronto in Toronto. I don't care who you are. You will not beat them. Just like last night, and I was telling my people this, my cousin graduated from high school, and we had a barbecue for him, so I had a bunch of family members over, and we were talking about this. And I said, listen, Toronto's going to win tonight. You know why? Because they know that this is their game 7. Like Charles Barkley said on TNT at the postgame show, this is their game 7. If they do not beat Milwaukee now, they won't beat them. They have to wait until next year. They were not going to come back and beat them Monday night. And this is the same thing with Golden State. If this goes 7 games, I can't pick Golden State to win that game. Even with Durant in the lineup, I can't do it. So, therefore, I think they'll finish them off in 6. I think Golden State wins again, and the three-peat is on.
So, I believe that offense, with great offense, you might win. But with great defense, you will.
Sure.
So, first you put Farley on Klay Thompson. Second, say he will take him out of the series. Probably, if he can hold Giannis, pedestrian numbers. I believe he'll take Klay Thompson. I don't think that Klay Thompson is strong offensive player or offensive defender. But if you go off and you put Kawhi Leonard on Kevin Durant, I'll pay to see that.
Well, that's who they'll probably put him on. But then again, if you do that, who's going to slow down Green? Because Green is still that X factor.
I'm afraid of my homie. If you serve Ibaka balance on another out, then you can put Siakam on Clay Thompson and Kyle Lowry on
the step. But how good is he on the fast break defense? Like, how good is he on fast break defense? Remember, Draymond Green can run the fast break, too.
You know what? He's about to earn his money. Right. We're going to see. Cause, yeah, you're right. Cause Draymond Green is good for about 90 feet in the fast break. Really, I'm handling the ball. But if we go off and I like the defensive matchup that Toronto presents. You know, and on top of that, they do have a center that can shoot the long ball in Marc Gasol. So I picked Toronto for a reason. Far as we get to the finals now, can they overcome the nuclear weapon as a whole that is Golden State, that's historically great, that is on par to set NBA Finals record that has not been looked at since the 60s.
Right.
We haven't seen a team get to the final 5 straight years since the Boston Celtics, and they were led by Casey Jones, shooting guard of Sam Jones, Tommy Heinsohn, or Jay Havlicek.
And John Havlicek.
John Havlicek.
He just passed away, too.
Recipes of John Havlicek. Yeah. Who was their Tommy Heinsohn was the power forward, and their center was this guy by the name of William Russell.
Yeah, Bill Russell.
Damn, yeah. He used to go full court and jump over people. You know, they had they had a nice little squad at the time, And I look at when we look at the Golden State Warriors, they're actually coming to the point where they could repeat some success, because if they bring Kevin Durant back, it's going to be more titles and more appearances in an entirely predictable NBA season.
That's true. As we move on, just a little tidbit about this matchup here, Warriors versus Raptors. Raptors were the only team to sweep Golden State this year in the regular season and won both matchups. Game one is Thursday, May 30th. Game two is Sunday, June 2nd. Wednesday is game three on June the 5th. And Friday, June 7th, will be game four. And we'll discuss 5, 6, and 7 as if we get there. So, go ahead, John. I don't think so, John, because, I think that it is great for the NBA to have a Canadian basketball team in the finals. And Kawhi Leonard has now become a household name for himself, right? Here's a guy who signed a one-year deal with the Raptors, and everybody was looking like, why did he sign with the Raptors? Well, this is why. He understood what was going on. No, they're not. They don't have the most attractive name as head coach and Nick Nurse, who's been around. He's been in the coaching business for 20-plus years, and a lot of people don't know that. But they're still playing Golden State. Golden State is still a must-watch, right? And Kawhi Leonard has now become that must-watch. And Kawhi Leonard may have established himself as the best in basketball right now, and that's why. Now, there could be the LeBron James factor. LeBron, we're so used to seeing LeBron James in the NBA Finals. We're so used to seeing him in the playoffs. And he didn't even make it there this year. So, that could be a dynamic, too, that one player could change the way we're looking at basketball now. But this is going to be some great basketball. And if the ratings go down, shame on the viewers, man, because this is going to be an interesting matchup. Yeah. 11 straight years he had made All-NBA first team. Didn't make it. Did he at least make the All-NBA team, though?
Yeah, he got
the third team, okay.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, I don't think they're, and I don't think they may be willing to let him go. I think you're gonna see an offer from them first, and I mean a big time offer. So we'll see how that plays out. But it all depends on where Kawhi's head is. Like if he understands that, listen, it's he and Drake that will be on top of Toronto, okay? Probably of all of Canada, right? You know, they have to understand that they'll be 1A and 1B of Canada, you know? And if he goes to the Clippers, that could be a good setup. But then the question is, you have to bring a superstar out there with you.
Yo, I don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see Kawhi and the Lakers because I'm a Lakers fan.
Well, sure.
But
I'd rather see him with the Hawks.
Right. But, you know, the only pitch that the Toronto Raptors would have with Kawhi would be emotional. Hey, you'll be King of Canada, offense is paid, you'll get the free condo, and you know, all the good stuff, right? That's emotional. It doesn't make basketball sense. Could they win the Eastern Conference again? Yeah, I think they could.
If they keep the same core together, I believe they could. And if you don't, exactly.
Right. But the team that makes the most basketball sense for Kawhi to go to, and it brings an emotional, you know, satisfaction to it as well. You know, Kawhi Leonard did buy a $13.5 million house in San Diego. So
it would be the Clippers.
He invested in California.
Right. He's from there.
And he's from the Riverside area, which is right by where he bought his house in.
Went to San Diego State.
He's going back to California. He's going back to Cali. The most basketball sense would make them go with these Clippers. The Clippers have a functional office, functional front office. They have a functional and very competent head coach. They already been to the playoffs with no superstar. Why not? Second.
And that's why, and you know when you talk about that coach and Doc Rivers, if I had to pick a coach of the year, it's between Budenholzer and Terry Stotts, I believe. I believe those are the three candidates for the coach of the year. Actually, Doc Rivers would be my coach of the year.
He made
the playoffs.
Took some lemons and made some lemonade.
And yeah, he made the playoffs and traded away his best player
in
Tobias Harris and still made the playoffs.
And his son.
Right. And still made the playoffs. And not only that, won two games from Golden State.
Absolutely.
So, Had
Kevin Durant on TV. Hey, I'm Kevin Durant.
Right.
I doubt this.
Exactly.
So then they have money for two free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So once they land Kawhi Leonard, guess who else they can land? And this right here goes for basketball sense and some emotional gratification for Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
I can go off, you know, Kevin Durant is a very sensitive guy. He is.
Right.
And he's been kind of like trying to get out of LeBron James' shadow for quite some time.
Yeah.
So why not go down to LeBron's house and dominate his house with him there.
Oh, boy.
And on top of that, for all those naysayers there and Golden State probably talking crap to him in the process, like Draymond Green, we don't need you, B-word, and all the stuff, that means that he could go down there, him and Kawhi Leonard, dominate the Western Conference, stick it to LeBron, and stick it to the Golden State Warriors at the same time.
Right. I cannot. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it is.
Understand that Magic Johnson knew what he was doing when he went on First Take and discussed all, and he went off the air off the great laundry that the Lakers had so far, were in abundance of the day before they announced Frank Vogel as the head coach. I mean, the time, if that wasn't coincidence, I don't know where. That wasn't no coincidence.
And it was a great interview. He came out, he said what he said. He did what he did. He also elaborated on what LeBron said on his show, The Shop, and how he didn't too much care for him exiting. And how he could have said, hey, look, man, I would have accepted, bye, I'm gone. F you, I'm gone. He would have accepted that. But for Magic to come out and say, hey, listen, I did what I had to do as a man. I did what I had to do. I had to leave. I had to do it what was for my best interest, what was for his best interest, because he saw that it was getting toxic over there. He did. And I think he saw that everybody else saw that. I think that that whole thing was for Rob Pelinka. I think that whole interview was strictly set up for Rob Pelinka to let him know how he feels about Rob.
Yeah, they were using that as an period. He didn't have any kind of real power in the situation.
Like he said he would have. Like they said he would have.
His first thing was like, hey, why do I need Rob Pelinka here? Get him out the way. Mm-hmm. He was like, no. Then why is Luke here? I don't need him here. Get him out the way. He was like, no. So then Magic's like, you know what? I'm going to get out the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to call LeBron because all you're going to do is convince me not to do it.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to call Jean because right now I'm going to say she's one of my favorite people, but she's not really. I'm going to appreciate everything that went on like that.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you know what? I'm just going to give you guys a proverbial middle finger. And I got better things to do.
Yep.
And on top of that, just to add insult injury, I'm going to talk crap about you on national television. I could care less if you guys don't like it. I don't even have to work for you. Allegedly, Magic is worth $2.8 billion. And he said, and then they asked him, hey, Magic, would you buy the Lakers? Face lit up. Like, yeah. I sure would. Because if they go off in, say, for example, if the Lakers have another putrid season this year, there was a large protest that happened outside of Staples protesting Jeannie Buss's tenure as owner at the Lakers.
It was.
The fan base is very, very, very ticked off at Jeannie. So then, one had to come from the top. Because unfortunately, it's kind of like when, as a Laker fan in 2014. Last year, Kobe had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting Phil Jackson, because we just got Dwight Howard that year.
Right.
The other young sibling of Gene, Jim Buss. Jim Buss, right? Instead of getting Phil Jackson, he gets Mike D'Antoni. You know what I'm saying? And a team full of senior citizens, you're in a high school system that ultimately led up to Kobe tearing his Achilles? Disgusting. So therefore, if the next step to protest is just the Lakers fan base, if we have another putrid season again, because the hype, like last year, the hype was there. You got LeBron, you got the young stars and everything. The hype machine was rolling. If we do not land Anthony Davis for a major free agent this year, during the off, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
But now Magic's gone.
Yeah.
And I believe Magic was the Lakers' link to those free agents.
Right.
And they just seen how they did Magic. Some people just may not appreciate that.
Right.
Like Magic. So if we do not land a major free agent, we come out with the same team did last year. We have the same results.
Mm-hmm.
Or wielding the same results from last year. You might see a decline in ticket sales. But what better way, just like any relationship, if your wife is arguing with you, your wife or girl is arguing at you, that means that your relationship has life.
Right.
If you have a little pain in your leg, that means you have life. That means your leg is telling you that, it's a problem.
Yeah, that's right.
But if your wife or girlfriend just doesn't even argue at you anymore, you know you're messing up, and they don't even protest you no more, they're not arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, those meals stop getting fixed.
Yeah.
The house stops getting clean.
Yep.
And before you know it, she goes to your joint bank account, and she withdraws all. No. This is what happens. It's worse. She starts going to the gym with him and starts losing weight and getting sexy.
And getting fine.
Oh, yeah. And then those meals start coming. The house stops getting clean. Yep. The conversations become shorter. She starts agreeing with you all the time. And before you know it, you check your bank statement, and she into half her money out the account. And I... Oh, man. And that's what's going to happen. The Lakers fan base will start withdrawing their financial support for the franchise. It could happen.
So this is the do or die year for the Lakers, is what you're saying.
You seen what happened to Seattle back in the day, where...
Yeah.
And let's think about this here. I'm getting even more gruesome with the story. If the Clippers land KD and Kawhi, okay?
Yeah.
And they start shining.
I don't think it's going
to happen.
I know. I don't think it will.
Let's hope not. I hope it doesn't.
Right.
But it can happen. If they land KD and Kawhi, and they really don't have, you know, I don't think that this generation of players,
mm-hmm.
You know, they grew up being bullied by LeBron. You know, Kawhi Leonard lost to LeBron in the finals. Then came back to beat him. And KD lost to LeBron in the finals.
Right.
Back when they were pups. The same way Kobe used to bully Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and a lot of those NBA stars and LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Before they grew up in Wu Fangs and then came back. They didn't want to play with Kobe.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go back to 2013. And when... We got backdoor swept by the Thunder. And the game that the Thunder lost, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were during the podium. They were so upset. Oh, they were disgusted.
Right.
And the press was talking to them. You could tell they were real. They wanted to sweep Kobe. They're like, man, your time is over. Michael Jordan had the same conversation with Isaiah Thomas, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson in the 1990 NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
It's been alleged that they walked into a room in 1990 and Jordan was sitting there smoking a cigar in a chair and said to all of those guys that, you know, y'all time is up. Time's up. And that's the same conversation that all the greats will have that conversation at one point in time. Eventually, Giannis will say that to Kevin Durant. He's going to say it to Kevin Durant eventually. Right now, they're saying it to LeBron. They will team up and get LeBron out the way. It'll be. I'm just being honest. They will team up, just like they teamed up on LeBron to get go to get them out the way. They didn't care if they don't care if they're playing double down 34. But the fact remains that Golden State would not have been able to beat Cleveland without Kevin Durant.
Right.
Let's be honest here. So therefore, you know, it's the same. They're going to lay it on real thick. I believe that they will lay it on thick. They said that Kevin Durant, mark my words, I believe that Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard will team up in Los Angeles with the Clippers, and they will go off and it's going to cause havoc. And for the Lakers, as a Laker fan, I know I'm speaking doom and gloom. I'm a Laker fan, but we do not land free agent, and we do not see. We haven't been in the playoffs in 6 years. We're teetering Charger territory here. We're teetering. So therefore, if we do not land a free agent and see progress this year, we remember this franchise. I love the franchise. One of my favorite power forward of all time player there, Sean Kemp. When they let Kemp go, Seattle eventually had the lead. They drafted Kevin Durant, and guess what? They drafted Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and had to go because like the fan base lost faith. Like, you know, they were done. You know, they were done arguing, they were done protesting, they just withdrew their money out of the account and just left. And unfortunately, since Dr. Jerry Buss passed away, our franchise has not been the same. You know, we're going to see where this goes.
I remember mentioning that on a couple of broadcasts. Need to watch themselves with that, saying that what Kawhi should and shouldn't do. Because who's to say if you're going to get Kawhi, if he's going to choose you. Now, Leon, you might be right. That might be the opportune choice. But who are you to come out and say that? You know?
I hope he winds up with the Lakers. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm just being, I'm my emotion, my heart mm-hmm. says that, you know, he said he's gonna win it later, but logically, I don't know.
Right. Right.
Heart and mind. It just makes the most sense for both players to do. I mean, shoot, you got a stable head coach, Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard together. I mean, shoot, they could, you know, just put them around a bunch of shooters, they could be large. They're going to be a problem. I can see them sticking to LeBron, they can stick to where they're both going to stick to the Warriors. And then that's going to bring in more players.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you got Patrick Beverly. Beverly, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, they can, man. What's the largest island in the world? Australia? Yeah, Australia. Large island.
Yeah.
They can put people, you get his name in.
Yeah, right.
The island size kind of, it could be like big Los Angeles, Australia. On defense. They putting people on an island with no help. No help. Oh, you know, if I'm, I say my heart wants KD to just get out of some, just go somewhere else, and Kawhi can come to Los Angeles. It's already been alleged that LeBron has been contacting him.
Right.
And, you know, we could right the Lakers ship. But my mind just says that, you know what, you know, LeBron approaching year 17, next year?
Year 17.
You know, it's safe to say that LeBron can very well, if he keeps up, he remains consistent with, I predict that he will, that he could become the first 40,000 point, 10,000 rebound, 10,000 assist player ever. And that would be his way for all the naysayers to go off and tell him to go like himself.
He could possibly pass Jordan, like everybody, but hoping that he doesn't. So, I mean, if he does that, you know.
He could very well pass Kareem.
Right.
That's what he's going for. I don't think, you know, Jordan, you know, I don't like the comparison that, you know, to digress. I don't like the media's comparison that they're all always trying to compare him with Jordan. I mean, we've seen it with Kobe already. I think that Jordan compares him with Kobe. But I don't like the comparison in any way, because I don't see that same energy with the quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
Okay? We don't see Tom, you know, the real comparison, they don't really, you know, they don't put as much energy. It comes up as a whisper, but it's not too much energy being put in between the Tom Brady and Joe Montana comparison.
Yeah.
Or Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Dan Marino and whoever.
And Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly or something like that. You don't see the disrespect of the legacy like that. So I don't like to see that in basketball. You know, you're just automatically just hitting legacy has been played, but it's just two. You're talking about two different time periods. I don't think that you can really compare Joe Montana and Tom Brady, because first of all, you know, Joe Montana had to go against Reggie White and Bruce Smith, and you know, it was short of a blood sport during the 80s.
Right.
You know, there was no all these passes. I mean, all these calls and roughing the quarterback and everything. Those guys tackled you back then. Lawrence Taylor, Charles Haley. So. This is a different time period. And, you know, so when it comes to basketball, I think we gotta show these players the same respect, you know.
Absolutely.
But can we discuss this Zion Williamson? I know we were just completely If you're Zion Williamson, do you sign with Nike like everybody else does? You just become one of the thousands of souls they have locked away in their cabinet? Or do you go with someone like Master P, if Zion Williamson signs with Master P, right, he's going to give him not only a $20 million shoe deal, I'm pretty sure that eventually he will also become a very big, he can also invest in a large chunk of the company. Ownership. We've seen this happen with the Rockefeller Records, and also we could go back.
Rock Nation Sports.
The Rock Nation. Mm-hmm. You know, and at one point in time, Jay-Z had his own show.
Yeah.
All right. Back when him, back about 2005, he had the F. Scott Carter. Now, unfortunately, Jay-Z signed with a well-established brand at Reebok. But the original plan was for him to take his, you know, at the time, I mean, Jay-Z was like an icon statue out of the box. You know, mm-hmm. Very big. And he was going to take his name, and I believe they brought ProKez for a very cheap price. And they're going to add his name to ProKez and then just expand the brand and then sell it off. Also, they took something like Armandale Liquor, an unknown liquor that we've never heard of prior to Dame Dash making popular. And they were going to apply that popularity that Rockefeller brought to the table and expand that brand and sell it off and potentially become a billionaire.
Right.
And this is what Zion can do. You know, just like Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard signed with New Balance.
Yes, he did.
Steph Curry signed with Under Armour.
Yeah.
He came with Nike.
Yeah.
But why? Everybody, let's go with Nike. Let's be a trailblazer here. You're not playing with Portland, but let's be trailblazers. I think Zion Williamson should go with Master P and become this icon.
Yeah.
And then apply your icon status to, you know, just like with LeVar Ball, we did with Big Baller Brand.
Yeah.
Excellent idea. You know, if you're popular, why are you going to sell your popularity to well-established companies that really don't need it?
Yeah. That is a great point. Yeah. Oh, yeah, without question.
He's gonna wind up anyway. You think if New York would have gotten him to Kevin, like, hey, we're gonna ransom him off for Anthony Davis anyway. And if this party started, it would have wound up with Zion Williamson. Then they could get Kyrie Irving, they could call Kyrie like, hey, we got DeAndre Jordan. Zion Williamson, yourself. We're gonna ransom Zion and DeAndre for AD. And then it could be you, AD, and KD. And we get the titles coming. Yucky the icons. That's what happened. So you gotta be cool. You know, we don't even know if this game is, you know, I like Zion, but we gotta see if this game's gonna translate to the NBA.
That's the scary part about this whole thing. We have no idea what this kid is gonna be like, you know. But it was just like when LeBron was picked number one. It was when go ahead, John. When Trae Young came in, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, they haven't announced it yet. They'll announce it, I think, June 24th. That's when the NBA awards. You know, they make it like the Oscars now. You know, the NFL and the NBA and the NHL. Yeah, it's like a big-time event. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would say the second month, because I think that he was trying to somewhat get away from the Trae Young that we were used to at Oklahoma. But I think Lloyd Pierce was saying, no. This is what got you in the league.
Right.
Shoot the damn ball and pass it. You know, this is what got you here. And listen, he's a lethal weapon from the outside, man. He is. He's a tremendous weapon. And now he's better at seeing the court, because I think he was pressing a lot when he first came into the league. He was pressing a whole lot. I think he kind of had a chip on his shoulder, and then he just had to realize, just play basketball.
Right.
Just play.
But he could be Alonzo Ball, who won Summer League MVP.
Right.
And who's been very pedestrian since he's been in the league. Very pedestrian. I mean, he plays for my team.
Mm-hmm.
I like Alonzo. But that star power, that light flickers. It's not too consistent yet. Like, you look at someone like Trae Young came in, and, you know, like I said, he had a, he adjusted. You know, you're playing one of the most athletic positions in the league right now. Point guard, great time. Great time position. They'll get fourth in them, fourth on fourth. But he was all right. Lonzo, for, you know, for all his worth, you know, he still has yet, you know, and I'm talking about, you know, I like him as a player and everything like that, but statistically speaking, the numbers say that he hasn't quite figured it out yet.
I agree, John. That's tough to say. That I tell you, John, that is as tough as nails to say. First and foremost, I do believe that this series, and I'll be watching this series. I believe that this series will go seven. Who has home ice? It's Boston, right? Boston has home ice. St. Louis, first off, let's start off by saying this. St. Louis has not been to the Stanley Cup since they met Boston in that 1970 Stanley Cup Finals with Bobby Orr. Let's mention that one. So it's been, what, 49 years? It's been 49 since? That's crazy. For this franchise, who's been around for the longest, I think they're one of the original six, if I'm not mistaken. They're not. The original six. There you go. John knows it. So, you know what? This is an exciting time for St. Louis Blues fans, just like it is for Toronto fans in the NBA Finals. But I think that home ice is going to mean so much. Boston is so tough. And they've been showing that all season long. Boston, what they went through, they had two sweeps in the playoffs, including sweeping Carolina, to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. They've only lost two games. So, they're 12-2 in the playoffs, and they're rolling right now. They are absolutely rolling. I just wonder how much energy the St. Louis have to keep up with this Boston team. I think that they can take them to seven games because St. Louis is that good. It's not a fluke that they're here. They're a very good hockey team. But I like Boston. I think Boston will finish them in seven. Absolutely. No. And I'm going to leave it at that. No.
You got a job you have right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. He can go undefeated. I mean, anything short of 10 straight undefeated seasons and state championships will, you know, you got to imagine the winning schools protesting. I mean, rape culture. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, you got a lot of people out here, you know, raping and getting away with it. You know, I'm surprised, you know, to bring up something this about 10 years ago, Ben Boston. Two red cases per year. knows? And then you have, you know, even to more recently, you have the Porzingis situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got a lot of, it's like a very freaky culture. You know, not to make light of, you know, the heinous.
Understood.
But you have a lot of people, you have a lot of women out there that are not getting justice. You know, I think recently there was a dwarf child molester in Australia that allegedly molested 24 girls. I mean, last week, got off with the probation.
And besides, how can you trust a leader of your team or a leader of anything in your lifetime that covers up something that they've done? How can you trust that person to be? I mean, like, really, he covered up probably one of the biggest scandals in college sports.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It was outrageous. I mean,
it's like Sandusky-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's why I said it's one of the most. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I remember when you were saying something about this, I believe it was last weekend, and I just thought that this is just an incredible story. Since when has winning become your biggest downfall or whatnot? Or I guess you can call it a downfall, but to get kicked out of a whole league because we're too good to be in this league, like, they should have had that choice to come out of that league. That's why I was floored with that. Leon, go.
I'm going to speak on Donovan Mavis. He is the Hall of Fame. You know, since the NFL Hall of Fame has been around, 26 quarterbacks have been in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mavis has better numbers than 13 of
them. Half of them.
Half of them. Wow. Better numbers. He has over 37,000 yards passing, 59% accuracy rate. So you can see the nearly 50% passing. And 5 NFC championships. And missed the playoffs twice, if that,
yeah.
And yet, and still, they're debating if they're gonna let him in the Hall of Fame. Let's see his peers, for example: Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Eli Manning. All right, Drew Brees, Donovan Mavis, I don't know if Drew based on success. Phillip Rivers, that's my quarterback. He plays for the Chargers. Football, Donovan Mavis never went 10 years on one playoff appearance, or 10 years and 2 playoff appearances.
Yeah.
And ever since, you know, when Donovan Mavis lost T.O., he was in the playoffs the next year. And he kept rolling all the way until Michael Vick got there. Mm-hmm. And he actually sacrificed his career. He didn't have to sacrifice his career for Michael Vick. He could have kept rolling. But he went off and sacrificed his career for Michael Vick. I mean, it's ridiculous. There, people are calling, and I'm like, look, and you know, let's before I get back to Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Are they going to keep Ben Roethlisberger out the whole thing because of those two red cats he allegedly caught?
Allegedly? That's the key word. Allegedly.
I mean, recently, the Buffalo Bills unretired O.J. Simpson's number. Somebody walked around number 32 for the Buffalo Bills right now.
That's right.
And he was not guilty. So, you know, when it comes to public opinion, actual opinion, I mean, so therefore, are they going to have public opinion keep Ben Roethlisberger out of the whole thing? Or Tom Brady got caught cheating twice. They're not going to keep him out.
No, that's a personal.
Right, they're not going to keep him out.
That's a personal thing, and he didn't go to jail for it.
No.
Or he, you know, the police didn't have to talk to him because he's a cheater.
Right. Or we got Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning might go down the first quarterback who has two rings. Still may not get in.
I bet money on it they put him in there. He's not going to be a first ballot.
He'll get in.
He'll get in. Yeah, he'll probably be like, what do they call him, John? On the Legends? Yeah. The Veterans Committee. Yeah.
he'll eventually get in.
Yeah.
You know, then you got Mr. Tony Romo. But cool numbers, but not any kind of real success. You know, and rings and no real, you know, you look at.
He didn't put the time in.
No real success.
He's an outstanding broadcaster, though.
Absolutely. I mean, he put up great regular season numbers and everything like that, but as far as you look at, you know, now I mean, they have five NFC championships. Mm-hmm. I believe in 13 or 14 years.
13 years.
Mm-hmm. That means almost half the career. He's just deep in the playoffs. So I mean, you know, do I think it's personal with him now? I don't know. He looks like he's a likable guy to me. He'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now I'm gonna go back to my quarterback, Mr. Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. They're calling Phillip Rivers one of the great ones. I don't agree with that. Phillip Rivers has pissed me off as a fan so many times I couldn't remember. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Matt Ryan has done more. You know, Matt Ryan has been in the league for 10 years, right? Has done more than Phillip Rivers. And I think Matt Ryan is average, in my opinion. I mean, he's been to the Super Bowl, choked, but he went though.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan, league MVP.
Am I correct? Yeah, the year we went to the Super Bowl.
League MVP. They've been to the playoffs many a times, deep into the playoffs at that. Matt Ryan lost his star wide receiver, did not falter. He got him another one. You know, I mean, my goodness, Matt Ryan's done more than Phillip Rivers. I don't care how many yards Phillip Rivers has. I'm looking at some W's and L's.
So,
and he has.
To say that Phillip Rivers is back on the
thing. I don't think he is. I'm sorry. I don't think he is. I remember one time, this was about, about 10 years ago, right? I'm at this one of the days I had to spend out of the house in. It was about years ago.
Sure.
We watched Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And you got, who was the young dude, the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens? Trent Dilfer. Okay. Trent Dilfer was on TV calling Phillip Rivers one of the great ones as he was on the way to another A-Nick season. I'm like, I don't see it. I'm taking Stan. I'm talking. I'm an OG Charger fan. I'm taking Stan Humphries, who took us to a Super Bowl over Phil Rivers. Exactly that part.
Well, Fouts, I can understand, but Stan Humphries.
Yeah, I'm talking. I said it. I'm taking. You know, that's how much I feel about. I like that. He's my favorite quarterback right now. I want to see if I want to see why I do good. It's Phil Rivers. I'm just being my heart, and then my mind. I gotta be honest with. I gotta be honest with America. I gotta be honest with the world.
I think they're fighting right now. I think y'all mind is fighting right now. Stan Humphries.
All right, I'll take it there.
I'm go.
He took us to a Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
Stan the man.
All right. I don't even know if I want to go behind that, but I will go. I'm going to make it real quick. I do have a sign up, though. I will be out, of course, June 2nd, June 9th, if I take it. So, folks. Watch out for that one, okay? So, Marshawn Lynch and Chris Long. Of course, Marshawn Lynch running back in the NFL, played for three different teams. Both of these guys have retired. Now, why am I bringing these two up? I think that these two guys are like two different kind of like individuals in their own way, you know? Marshawn Lynch, of course, and these are some stand-up guys, believe it or not, okay? Marshawn Lynch, of course, played with the Buffalo Bills most of his time with the Seattle Seahawks, and he finished up his career with the Oakland Raiders. He's a Super Bowl champion. Of course, he won that with Seattle, five-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 2012, second-team All-Pro in 2014. He led the league in touchdowns in two consecutive years. That was the 2013 and 2014 season. When he was at Cal, he was a first-team All-American, first-team All-Pac-10 that same year, and Pac-10 Offensive Player of the Year. 10,379 yards rushing, 84 rushing touchdowns, and he probably owns the greatest run in NFL history when he decided that he just wanted to truck all 11 members of the New Orleans Saints, which was just a happy day for me because I was sitting on my floor in my apartment, what Leon was talking about in Fort McPherson when that happened. And I said to myself, my God, that was one of the more impressive ones I had ever seen. And you know what? Forgive me for saying this, you can fine me for saying this, but he's also one hell of a cart rider, too. I don't know if you remember this, but he rode the cart on to the University of California. I think he had his mom on the cart, and he was just rolling through. He's a great guy, man, and he does so much. Uh-huh. Yes, he did. He really, really wanted that cake, and he was the one that started the riot, and he probably did it because he didn't want to get fined. So salute to Marshawn Lynch. Chris Long is the other guy I want to talk about. Now, Chris Long, of course, is the son of the great Howie Long, and I'm going to run off a few of his stats, too. He went to the University of Virginia. He was a two-time Super Bowl champion, actually won Super Bowl 51 with the New England Patriots. For those of you who don't remember what that was, it was that thing that happened against the Atlanta Falcons. Super Bowl 52, he did that with the Philadelphia Eagles, defeat the New England Patriots. He was named to the All-Rookie Team in 2008. He won ACC Defensive Player of the Year in 2007, unanimous All-American that same year, and he was also first and second All-ACC for the University of Virginia. But the one thing that the one award that really stands out to me, he also collected 70 sacks in his career, but the one award that means something to me and means something that should mean something to these players, he was the 2018 Walter Payton Man of the Year. One of the stand-up things that Mr. Long did right before is he dedicated his check. He donated his entire salary in 2017 to charity, and one of the charities that he has is the Chris Long Foundation, which helps raise money for waterboys.org initiative, and this initiative is dedicated to building wells for communities in East Africa. So he, for me, is one of the stand-up guys in the league, and I thought that I would salute him as well because of his efforts off the field. And Marshawn Lynch was just a tremendous character who had brought his own personality, and both of these guys said, hey, listen, it's all right to be me. Just because I'm in the league, just because I do this and I do that, it's all right to be me. And salute to both of those guys, John. Nice. All right, John, good talking to you, man. See you in about 3 weeks or so. That will do it for us. This is the last three guys to do a podcast, John Margot, Leon Braun, and Daniel Bolton. It's possible that we'll be back next week. I will not, of course. I will be out for the next 2 weeks dealing with my son's graduation. And the following week, it is my anniversary, my two-year wedding anniversary to my lovely wife, Kimberly. So, of course, I won't be available for that one. Yeah. Thank you. I won't be available for that one. So we'll wrap it up here. This was episode 34 of The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. For John Morgo and Leon Brown, I am Daniel Bolton saying so long, everybody, and we will see you again next week.